The formation of the Earth and Moon. 4.5 billion years ago, when the Earth formed, there was no moon. Our planet was a hostile, molten ball of rock travelling around the sun. The young solar system was a chaotic place, with crowded orbits and frequent collisions. Today, the Earth orbits in an astronomical highway that is mainly clear of debris, which is good if you're travelling at 30 kilometres per second. A cleared orbit is one of the three definitions that the International Astronomical Union uses to classify a planet. To clear its orbit, the Earth had to go through a violent period of collisions and near misses, as smaller bodies were either thrown out of the orbit or added to the mass of the planet itself in collisions. Not all of the objects the Earth encountered as a young planet were small. It's thought that there were dozens of protoplanets orbiting the Earth in those days, swirling around in crowded orbits, and Earth would have experienced a number of significant collisions. Direct evidence of these planetary collisions has long been erased from Earth's surface, but one particular collision left an indelible mark. The giant impact hypothesis suggests that there was a glancing collision between the newly formed Earth and a Mars-sized planet around 4.5 billion years ago, resulting in a planetary merger. The colliding planet has been named Theia, after the Greek goddess who gave birth to Selene, the goddess of the moon. Scientists love their Greek mythology, and there's a good reason for the choice of goddess in this case. Computer simulations suggest that the collision resulted in large amounts of material from both Theia and Earth entering orbit around the battered larger planet, and over time the debris combined under the action of gravity to form the moon. The supporting evidence for this hypothesis is strong, although, as always in science, healthy skepticism remains. Without skepticism, there can be no progress. Computer simulations certainly match the details of the spins and orbit of the Earth-Moon system, but there's also physical evidence of a common origin for the system from the lunar rock samples returned by the Apollo astronauts. In particular, the abundances of oxygen isotopes 16O, 17O, and 18O in lunar rocks are near identical to those on Earth. For those who need a bit of chemistry revision, isotopes are atoms of the same chemical element but which have different numbers of neutrons in the nucleus. The most plausible reason for this similarity is that the rocks have a common origin, namely in the collision 4.5 billion years ago. The Moon also has significantly less iron in its core than Earth. This is also consistent with the computer models describing such an impact. To get the spins and orbit right, a glancing collision is required, and in such collisions, the iron-rich cores of the colliding planets tend to merge together, leaving the iron-depleted rocks from the outer layers to form the Moon. The giant impact hypothesis is able to explain the composition of the Earth and Moon and the details of their orbits and spins. This includes the origin of Earth's tilted spin axis, angled at 23.5 degrees to the plane of the solar system, which gives us our seasons. I find this a wonderful thing. There are a few certainties in science, but I would contend that we wouldn't be here today if our spin axis wasn't tilted. The Moon was likely formed in the event that tilted our spin axis, but in any case, her presence acts to stabilize the orientation of Earth's axis, and a reasonable level of stability over geological timescales is a prerequisite for the evolution of complex life. Humans wouldn't be here without the Moon. Well, at the very least, evolution would have taken a different path, and it is a major understatement to say that the road to humanity was convoluted. In one sense, that's a superficial observation. There are a vast number of chance events in our past that could have happened differently, and changing any one of them would have meant that we wouldn't be here. We shouldn't fall into the trap of attaching particular importance to a single event. We'll leave that to the sonorous voiceovers of badly made television documentaries. The deeper, unarguable point, which does bear at least a thought, is that we are very lucky indeed to be here. There cannot be any cosmic significance to our existence, because our existence is far too contingent on a series of chance events stretching back to the formation of the solar system and beyond. Does the fact that you're lucky to be alive make you feel irrelevant or valuable? I'll leave that to you. In his essay, Some Thoughts on the Common Toad, George Orwell reflects on the simple and available delight of noticing things like the passage of the seasons, and that's really what this book is about. The point is that the pleasures of spring are available to everyone and cost nothing, he writes. How many a time have I stood watching the toads mating or a pair of hares having a boxing match in the young corn, and thought of all the important persons who would stop me enjoying this if they could. But luckily they can't. The atom bombs are piling up in the factories, the police are prowling through the cities, the lies are streaming from the loudspeakers, but the earth is still going around the sun, and neither the dictators nor the bureaucrats, deeply as they disapprove of the process, are able to prevent it. You don't need permission to do science, to think carefully and without preconception about what nature is telling you. After all, nature is a more reliable guide to the truth than the opinions of those incalculably lucky humans.